Knox will have the answer provided to him or her. God's promising us, if you want to be saved, you'll be able to be saved. And so, when we kind of take all of this on balance, we see that God wants everyone to be saved. He wants it so badly that He gave His Son for this end. God has promised, if you want to be saved, you will be saved. If you really want to be saved, now that's the kicker, right? Everyone wants to go to heaven, but not everyone wants to follow God. Everyone wants to be in heaven, but not everyone wants to sacrifice and do the things that God says must be done in order to get there. So if you really want to be saved, that's the key, Matthew 7:7. If you really want to be saved, the Lord is going to make that arrangement. He is going to allow you to find what it is you're seeking. He's going to give you the answer for what it is you're in search of, Matthew 7:7 says. And that all leads me to a topic tonight that I want us to study together in three quick parts that lets us know that God has a place for us. God has a special place for us. God wants us to be saved so badly that He has made our salvation imminently achievable. God has not rigged the system against us. Some people think that God is kind of a corrupt being. Some people think that God's kind of disingenuous in all of this talk about grace and mercy and salvation. And you know, really, God doesn't want you to be saved. It's all a big trick. It's not a big trick, not at all. And I want to show you that this evening by looking at a few simple cases. One is very familiar to you, Genesis chapter 6. I don't know if you remember this, but I sure do. My first time to set foot in Greenville, South Carolina, I came here to this congregation and taught a Bible class and preached two sermons. And one of the sermons was on Genesis chapter 6. I love Genesis chapter 6. When I was coming to visit the congregation and to get to know you better and to have you get to know me better as a preacher, I wanted to make sure that I preached something from the Old Testament because we love the Old Testament. We understand the Old Testament is a law that has been replaced by the New Testament. But by all means, we understand that the Old Testament is full of information that we can learn. Romans 15, verse 4 says, those things written before time, those were written for our learning. He's talking there about the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 6, we find a very, very deplorable situation here among God's creation. The sons of God took the daughters of men, Genesis chapter 6, verse 2. People were departing from God. The Lord said, verse 3, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. He is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The Lord saw the wickedness. If you skip down to verse 5, he saw the wickedness of man was great on the earth, how that man's thoughts and intentions were only evil continually. The Lord said, verse 7, I will destroy man whom I have created. But, verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a just man, verse 9. The world around Noah was corrupt, verse 11. God says to Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them. Verse 14, make thou an ark of gopher wood. God always has a place for us. Back in this rampant corruption and wickedness, God's place was the ark. God says to Noah, you make an ark out of gopher wood. He gives further instructions about the rooms and the pitch and the length and the height and the width. God gives blueprints about how this ark was to be built. And this was to be the place where God would offer salvation. God wants everybody to be saved. Nobody's slipping through the cracks here. in a world that is full of wickedness. You saw Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. The wickedness of man is great on the earth. Every intention and thought of his heart was only evil continually. That's terrible. Arguably worse than how things are today. Just by a smidge. And in this world so full of wickedness, God is not going to get rid of the good with the bad. God is going to make sure that the good still find this way to be saved, because God always has a place for us. We won't look at it this evening, but you fast forward in your book of Genesis to Genesis chapter 18, 19, Genesis chapters 18 and 19, where Sodom and Gomorrah are slated for destruction. And you remember there, Abraham is pleading with God to spare these cities. And God says, for the sake of 10 righteous souls, I'll keep Sodom and Gomorrah put. For the sake of 10 righteous souls. It's not a big number. But for the sake of 10 righteous souls, God said, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God, he sees all of the good that's done. Nothing slips through the cracks. Noah is a small light in a dark world. But guess what? God sees Noah. Noah finds grace in God's sight, chapter 6, verse 8 of Genesis. Noah is spoken to by the Lord. He's the one who's going to help this situation. He's the one who's going to offer salvation to people. The Lord says, you make this ark out of gopher wood, and then when it comes, you go into the ark, chapter 6, verse 18, Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. You go into the ark. You, your wife, your sons, your sons-in-law, everybody who wants to stay alive, get in this ark. Because that's the place that God has. God always, always has a place. And here, when the world is being destroyed, God says, this place is the ark. Look at chapter 6, verse 22. I love this, don't you? Thus did Noah, according to all that the Lord commanded him. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy at all. But Noah did it. Genesis chapter 7, verse 5, guess what it says? It says the same thing. Thus did Noah according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah is moving with godly fear, we learn later on from a study of the book of Hebrews. Noah is doing what the Lord wants him to do, and he is providing God's salvation to people who need it. Look ahead in chapter 7, Genesis chapter 7, verse 21, and just do a side-by-side comparison. On one side, I want you to think about in the ark. On the other side, I want you to think about out of the ark. All flesh, I'm reading from Genesis chapter 7, verse 21, all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, cattle, beast, every creeping thing, every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, they died. God destroyed all the living things. This is not lacking in justice. God is a just God. This is a just action. It's hard to accept. It's a sad reality to face, but God wants everyone to be saved. We've already established that. Hopefully you believe that as much as I do. Here, these people are not, that they're not listening, right? God had a place for them. That's the whole thing we're talking about. God had a place for them to be saved. It was in the ark. Outside of the ark, there was death and destruction. The consequences of their wicked actions. Only Noah and those that were with him, Genesis chapter 7, verse 23, only Noah and those that were with him in the ark stayed alive. Now that ark was plenty big for anyone who wanted to climb aboard. In order to climb aboard, you just needed to obey God's plan. You needed to set your priorities aside and surrender to the Lord.
and you could have gotten in that ark. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't an exclusive club. You could have gotten in the ark just like Noah and his family got in the ark. The only thing required was a willingness, an open heart, an ear that paid attention to God. That's all that was required to get aboard that ark. And in the ark, there was salvation. Outside of the ark, there was damnation. In the ark, there was salvation. Outside of the ark, everything died because of their sins. God had a place for them. God always has a place for us to be saved. Let me show you another picture of this. Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27 is another picture. It involves a boat much, much, much smaller than Noah's ark, but still the lesson is going to be just as easy to see. Acts 27, verse 31. Well, I tell you what, let's back up a few verses and smell some of the roses as we build to that point. Acts 27, verse 27. So Paul and the others, they were aboard a ship, and they tested. I don't know. My family, they want me to go on a cruise. I don't know that it'll ever happen because I'm scared about these things here. So I may get some of the terminology a little mixed up. You'll have to beg my pardon because I'm not fond of ships. But they're on this ship, and they're checking the depth of the water. I suppose that's a pretty important thing to do. And in chapter 27, verse 28, they see that, okay, the water is 20 fathoms deep. And they continue checking, and they find a little later that it's 15 fathoms deep. So the water is getting more shallow. And they're petrified, these folks are. They know what they're doing, and they don't like the sound of 15 fathom deep water. So they're afraid that their ship is going to run aground. And they feared. Verse 29 says, they dropped not one, not two, not three, but four anchors, and they prayed for a day to come. They did not want to crash this boat. They dropped four anchors in hopes of staying put, and they prayed for the day to come. And there were some sailors aboard that ship, verse 30, who were planning to escape. They had a pretense of throwing out anchors, but what they were really doing is they were planning a way to drop the lifeboat so that they could hop on those lifeboats and get away from the situation. Paul said to the centurion, Acts 27, verse 31, Paul says to the guy in charge, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. It's an all or nothing deal. Why God made it that way, I'm not quite sure. But Paul has established his bona fides up to this point. Paul has presented himself as a servant of God. They notice there's something different about Paul. They notice there's something special about Paul, something special about Paul's God. And I want you to see how convinced they were of what Paul said. Acts 27, verse 32, the soldiers cut away the ropes and let the lifeboat fall off. They believed what Paul said. In the moment, I'm sure it could not have made a ton of sense to them. Why in the world is our salvation tied to these people here? Why in the world is that the case? Well, God has a place for us always. God has a place. And right here, for reasons largely unknown to us, definitely known to God, God says all of these people need to stay in the ship, or you cannot be saved. It's a simple thing, really. I mean, it's only complicated if you stop and try to figure out why it's that way. But if you just pay attention to the words coming from this authoritative apostle of Jesus, they're plenty easy to understand. If you get yourself out of the way, then it's easy to hear, obey, and do what Paul's saying. And the proof's in the pudding, right? Look at verse number 32. They did what Paul said needed to be done. They did it. They understood what he was saying. It's interesting, in these life or death moments, there's no messing around with debates. There's no time for parsing words and trying to figure out a way around what God says. It's very, very interesting. In these life or death moments, when they hear what they understand to be the words of the Lord, there's no effort to sidestep. There's no effort to muddy it up or obfuscate. There's just a willingness to obey. I think if we came to understand our spiritual salvation in terms of physical salvation, it would get a lot of people on board more quickly, right? We're talking about simple things in Genesis chapter 6, Acts chapter 27. We're talking about simple things, and it stays simple for our next point, but it gets a little more theoretical, I suppose. And it's just enough different to where people want to debate it and argue it in abstract ways. God has always had a place for us. We see in Genesis chapter 6 that places the ark. Acts chapter 27 that places the ship. And today, for us, the place that God has for us is, well, it's not going to surprise you, the place God has for us today is His church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body, the Bible says. And that body is His church. If you look to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, God puts all things under Jesus' feet, gives Jesus to be head over all things to the church, Ephesians 1, 23, which is His body. So the church is the body of Jesus. Jesus' body is His church. His church is His body. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, when the Bible says that Jesus is the Savior of the body, it's the same thing as saying that He's the Savior of the church. God has always had a place for us. Today, that place for us is the church. And I want you to think, kind of the same thing we did when we were thinking about Noah's Ark a minute ago. On one side, you think about inside that ark. On the other side, you think about outside that ark. And when we did that little exercise, inside the ark was the place to be. That's where salvation was. Outside of the ark, there was death, and there was wickedness, and there was consequences of sins. There was no hope outside of the ark. Do that same thing with the church. Inside of the church, tell me what there is. Well, inside of the church, which is Christ's body, there is salvation. Inside of the church, which is Jesus' body, there is all spiritual blessings. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, please. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And here's what you find there. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. How about that? Think of a spiritual blessing. Got it? Okay, that spiritual blessing is in Christ, Ephesians 1, 3 says. Think about another spiritual blessing. Got it? That spiritual blessing is in Christ. Think about another spiritual blessing. Got it? That spiritual blessing is in Christ. Every spiritual blessing you can think of is in Christ. In His body, which is His church. So we're thinking in the body versus out of the body. in the body, just like in the ark, man, that's where we want to be. We want to be in Christ, in His body, not outside. Because if every spiritual blessing is in Christ, how many of them are outside of Christ? I remember when I was studying with a preacher a long time ago, before I was a preacher, before I was a Christian, we looked hard at Ephesians chapter 1. And he drew a circle and said, okay, this circle is in Christ. And we're going to make a list of everything that's in Christ and put it right here in this circle. All spiritual blessings, okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, in Christ. In Him, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. All right, that's in Christ. In Him also, verse number 11, Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 11, in Him also we have an inheritance. You want to go to heaven? Sure. Well, that inheritance is in Christ, in His body, which is His church. Jesus is the Savior, not just of everybody, no matter what they do. Jesus is the Savior of His body. Jesus saves, yes. Jesus saves His church. There are a lot of people who want to try to separate Jesus from the church. And folks are coming with all sorts of strange ideas about, I want Jesus, but I don't want the church. I want Christ as my Savior, but I don't want to have to fool with the church, with organized religion. They don't want that. Well, you can't separate those two. You just can't. You can't separate Jesus from His body, right? Jesus is equal to His body. Jesus' body is the church. And just because we're here, we have to point out in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, that there is how many bodies? There is one body. We've already seen that to be the church, right? The church is the body. The body is the church. The Bible says Jesus is the Savior of the body. That means He's the Savior of the church. The Bible says there's one body. That means there's one church. Here's where we end tonight. God has always had a place for you. God has always, always, always had a place for you to be saved. Right now, that place is His church, His body, the church that Jesus promised to build, the church that proudly wears His name, the Church of Christ. That is His body. That is the church born from the Scriptures. That is the place that God has for you to be saved. So, are you saved? Are you saved tonight? I certainly hope so. It's not just me who hopes so. We all hope so here. It's not just all of us here who hope so, but God hopes so too. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be saved so badly, He's made this special place for it to happen. Are you a member of the Lord's church? Are you in Christ? Are you in Christ? You want to know how to get in Christ? Baptism. Baptism is a consummating act. Galatians 3:27 tells us, as many of us as have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Before we can be baptized, though, the Bible teaches we need to hear, believe, repent, and confess. If you're ready to do that tonight, we are ready to help you. As I look out, I see a ton of folks who have already obeyed this gospel plan of salvation. You are in Christ. That's great. I want to remind you of something we've talked about in our Wednesday night religious studies class, though. It's imperative that we stay in Christ. It's imperative that we stay there. Because if we leave, and believe me, we can leave. Once we're in Christ, we're not locked there. Once we're in Christ, we have the same freedom to exit Christ. So as somebody who has done those things that I mentioned, heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, are you staying faithful? Are you staying faithful? God has a place for you to be saved. It's in His church. We have to stay there, and we have to stay faithful to that church. Maybe you're not tonight. If that's the case, we would love to help you as well. If you need to respond to this invitation, we lovingly invite you to come while we stand and sing, won't you please?
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.